he's raised from the grave ought to make you want to jump and shout and praise the Lord. No other religion on the earth has a God that's raised from the dead, a God that gives us life, a God that cares about the very number of hairs on our head. What a wonderful Savior He is. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 today, Matthew chapter 6. And we're continuing and with the questions for Jesus. And these young people that are seated around, scattered in the building, have come up with some great questions. And you know what? Jesus is on the edge of His seat to answer your questions and to give you the hope of life. Because I want you to know, you can't find the answers in the world. You just can't happen. That's why people keep spinning their tires and doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, and it doesn't change. Nothing happens. God has prescribed vitamins in His Word, ways of living in His Word that will help change our lives. So Matthew chapter 6, I want to begin by reading in verse 25 this morning. Matthew chapter 6, it says, "Therefore I tell you." Now, folks, this is Jesus, the one we just sang about, the name that's above all names, speaking here. He says, "Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And of which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious about anything, what we shall eat, or what we will drink, or what we will wear. For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Anybody worry in here or deal with anxiety? Don't raise your hands, but perhaps some of us in here have had ulcers, some of us have had anxiety attacks, and we sit and we go over the what ifs. What if I lose my business? What if I get bad grades at school? What if mom and dad get divorced? What if the stepdad or stepmom hurts me? What if the whole world falls apart and the economy slips and the banks are empty and we can't access our money? What if? What if? Anxiety is a real thing. And even way back in 1961, Time magazine published a story on the presence of anxiety in America. The article was entitled "Guilt and Anxiety." It stated that the breakdown in faith in God and in reason in the 20th century, coupled with the accelerated pace of high tension and modern life, have produced intense anxiety in millions, many millions of people. So much so, in fact, that we would be correct to call the worry one of the most widespread and debilitating ailments of our time. Someone has called anxiety fear in search of a cause. Worry can cripple your life. It can destroy your life. Worry can lead to us trying to fill the voids in our life. We're searching for that cause, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whether it's relationships, whether it's sex outside of marriage. All those things, when we worry, when we are caught up with what ifs, there's no telling what might happen, and we lead ourselves into destructive patterns of living in our lives. But there's good news for the what ifs. Because Jesus in His Word has given us the answers of how to deal with anxiety. We just don't put them into practice. We run to the doctor. We run to our vices. We run to video games. We run to relationships. We run to tractors, maybe. We run to our hobbies. We run to sports to deal with the fear that grips our heart about tomorrow. How many, if we were to be honest, this last week worried about something that was going to happen the next day or next week or in the coming month? I would put both hands up and all my toes and anything else that could represent that. Worry is a real thing. And so I want to look at the Word of God and define what worry is. Because there's a difference between care and worry. Now, it's not that God wants us to be, well, I don't care about anything and I'm just worry-free. I don't make plans. I just kind of live my life haphazard and free. It's not about that. It's because when we look at the definition, look at the emphasis here. It says to be anxious, to be troubled with cares, plural. It's to be cared for, to look out for, to seek to promote one's own. And it signifies to have a distracting care. Now, I love ice cream. I love all kinds of different flavors of ice cream. And I like to get the big bowl out when I get ice cream, so it doesn't look like I have so much in it, but I really do have a whole bunch in it. But, you know, I remember when I was a kid, Mom and Dad, one night, they said, you know, we're going to have a special night tonight, and it's our family night, and we're going to have all-you-can-eat ice cream. As much as you could buy. Boy, we were excited because we always would get little divvies because we had a large family, four kids. And we just have a little bit divvied out. You know, well, this was the night we could have as much as we want. Mom and Dad were not going to say no to having more. But you know what? After the first bowl and maybe the second bowl, we stopped eating. And those that tried to keep eating got a stomach ache. You know what? This is what we're talking about. Care, too much of it, becomes a bad thing. It's one thing to be concerned about things and have care in our life and plan. But when it becomes too much, it's like eating too much ice cream, it turns into anxiety in our lives. And so it becomes sin and turns into worry when we are completely distracted by many cares and concerns. In other words, those what ifs are basically distracting us from living life, from loving our spouses, from being productive in school, from living our life to the fullest that God meant us to live. So it turns into worry when we are distracted by many cares. In other words, we have overload of cares. And it's when we strive to control things that are outside of our control. Anybody in here guilty of doing that? Let's name some things really quickly, and I want you to help me out this morning. What are some things that you've tried to control, but you found out that you're not God and you can't control it? Let's talk about things that are outside of our control. You had kids. Okay. Money. What else? A job. Then yeah, we could, there's no guarantee we'll have our job tomorrow. That's true. What else? Way we're treated by other people. We can't control that, can we? No matter how hard we try to stop that bad behavior from happening, all we can do is put up boundaries and say, no, I'm not going to go there. But ultimately, we can't stop somebody from calling us a bad name. We can't stop somebody from making fun of us. And so those are things, and it becomes worry when we try to play the role of God. So it's like God sitting on His throne, and when we start worry, we kind of walk up to God's throne, and we sort of sit down next to God, and we're kind of put ourselves in there, and then pretty soon, you know what? We kind of do this, you know? Pretty soon, God says, okay, I will show you what it's like to be on my throne but not have the power to have control over the circumstance. And that's when worry happens. So when we worry, there are many things that happen. But let's look at these next few things, next few signs. It's things outside of our ability to control or change cause our hearts to be gripped by fear. We're just so fearful of what might happen tomorrow. And it negatively affects our physical condition. I remember when I was in college, and I've shared this with some of you before, but there was a girl that I was dating and trying to date. I was trying to win her over, and she just wouldn't quite give me the answer that I wanted. I had 19 credit hours, which is a lot of studies, and I was taking one of the hardest theology professors, and I was taking Greek. And it was getting near time of graduation. I was stressed to the max. And to make things even worse, I was starting to think about what's going to happen to me when I graduate. What kind of job am I going to get? Where am I going to go? And I developed what's called an ulcer. That's when the acid in your stomach builds up and then you get a constant pain in your side. Went home, went to the doctor when in Michigan on my time off, and the nice little doctor says, "Michael, you need to stop worrying." I was, "Well, okay. Why don't I just quit the 19 credit hours and then forget about everything?" I somehow came across this booklet, and I'll tell you about that later. It was about what God says about worry. And I got on my knees and confessed my sin of pushing God off the throne. And immediately that heaviness, that lift was weighted, because the doctor gave me medication. It wasn't doing any good. I was still having the pain and the stomach ache. But immediately, within a week, and even that day, when I said, "Okay, God, you're God and I'm not," the ulcer began to heal and go away. You see, physical things happen. We train our bodies. When we worry a lot, and this is what panic attacks are. Panic attacks are when we condition our body to get worked up when things are outside of our control, and we start going, we start just freaking out. And there may be some of us that have dealt with that. And I've come close to that sometimes in my life, because concern becomes sin when it turns in to anxiety. It leads to fatigue and all kinds of physical sickness. When it negatively affects our connection with what's going on. See, we're not connected with reality. Our psychological state is so obsessed with our fears that we don't even engage in life around us, and things start to slip. Our grades, our work productivity, all those sorts of things in life. And last of all, again, I want to stress, it's when we play the role of God and we find out that we're just not capable of doing it, yet we still keep trying to do it. And we make ourselves sick. Now, there's hope here. Don't worry. Did you get that? Don't worry. Because God's got this. He's got a recipe to help us all deal with anxiety. And I want to interject here something that some of us might have worried so much that we've ingrained panic attacks, because what your mind does is it makes pathways of certain behaviors and responses to what we've worked ourselves up in, and it continues. And a lot of people go and they get medication from the psychiatrist, and they get anxiety medicine and things like that. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but I want you to know and I want you to understand this morning that that is a tool to enable you to put God's recipe into effect. If you've gone too far down, it helps you, but it's not going to heal you. No medicine on earth can cure anybody of worry. All it does is a Band-Aid that helps you cope with life long enough so that you can learn the right coping skills, or in other words, the Bible skills to overcome worry. And I will just go further and say that if you're not on medication already, you don't need it, because God has given us a way of escape without that. And He can heal and come and move in your life, unless you've gone too far down and you just need that extra help. But what do we worry about when Jesus tells us? See, look in verse 25. He says, these are the basics of life. Anybody sometimes worry about when it's going to be dinner time? Are you looking at the clock right now? Maybe when is lunch going to, when is this guy going to be done so I can have lunch? Food is the very basic things of life. Anybody like to watch the birds? Notice the birds. they just flutter around. I mean, sometimes it just looks like they're not doing anything. I mean, they're flying back and forth, you know, and they're just like flying, and they just sit there all cute, chirp, 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 chirp. Jesus uses the example of a bird. And in Jewish times, a sparrow was of the bird that was the least valuable. You have your chickens, you have your doves, and you have all those premium kind of birds, but just a regular bird, a sparrow, has the least value. And Jesus says, you know, those things are fluttering around and they're chirp, chirp, chirp. I don't see any of them putting things in barns. I don't see them, any of them straining to work hard to find food, because there's food all over the place. There's a worm there. They can hear them going through the ground. And sometimes people like me feed them, and so then they have extra things. Then they try to eat our cat food. And there's food everywhere. If God cares for such a tiny animal that when you hit them going down the road, they get stuck in your grill and it's insignificant. If God even cares about a little bird, He cares about you. So He uses example of food. I give food to the birds. How much more do you think that I can't give food to you? Did you just hit a bird this week, David? Oh, David. Our next thing is drink. I mean, we need water to survive. In this hot weather, we get thirsty, and I'm chugging the water down. That's a basic necessity of life. And then Jesus goes on and He says, your bodies. You know, we're obsessed with taking care of ourselves. I mean, right? Our bodies, we worry about our health. We got to have insurance, and we got to have this, and we got to have that. And we obsess and fear and worry about our bodies, our health, our security, whether or not we're going to have a roof over our head. Jesus said, look at these flowers, for example, the lilies in the field. Anybody ever see lilies in the field or dandelions in the field? They're out there just sitting. They're not scrounging around. And the Bible says, uses a word, toil there, which means to grow tired and exhausted from looking for food. The plants are not out there scrounging around for food. They just sit there and look at the sun. God gives them food from the ground, from the earth. He says they don't toil and they don't spin. Now, if that doesn't present a picture of a worried person, what does? I mean, someone that's just spinning around everywhere. Oh no, what am I going to do next? What's going on? Oh, I just can't take this anymore. So you see the humor in Jesus. The flower's not out there doing that. The flower's just like, God made me. He's going to provide water for me. So what does Jesus tell us? Why does He tell us not to give in to anxiety? He gives it as a command. He says, don't worry. Why? Number one, because God values us so much that He's going to feed us. You know that you're much more valuable than the little sparrows that fly through the earth. You are. Do you believe that? You know, sometimes some people cry and go into mourning when they hit a little bird. But some people are like, oh, it's just a bird, right? But if we hit a person, a human being, that would change everything for us. God, Jesus is saying this to give the example. He says, I care about you so much. Don't you think that I will feed you even more than the birds because you're so much valuable? And number two, this is why Jesus says, is because anxiety cannot change our circumstances or extend our life. Look in verse 27 there in your Bibles. He says, which of you, and this is a rhetorical question that Jesus asks. He says, which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? Now, I once read an article about some of the world's oldest people, and one of their secrets was that he says that they said that they're living to 110 and 120 and things like that. what is your secret to long life? And it was, you know, I don't sweat the small stuff. You know, I just let things go. And so there's some truth here in that. Anxiety cannot change and extend our lives, but it can cut off our lives. It can shorten our lives, not to mention shorten our time that we have with our families and friends and enjoying school and in our workplaces and life, because we're so busy caught up with worry. It's kind of a funny thing. Can you picture God saying to you, okay, you can spin. Eventually you're going to get dizzy. It's not going to make your life any longer. It's not going to change the circumstance. And number three, God is mindful of your needs. I want you to think for a moment. Just everybody think for a moment. You know, well, pull everybody back in. Sometimes I understand when you have a teacher talking and then so you're kind of drift in and out. I do the same thing. But think about this. Think about what you need right now. What do you need? What are your needs? Really think about that. What do you need? For most of us, we don't need shelter and clothes and food, but we might need love. We might need someone's attention. We might need help going through a difficult time in our lives. What is it that you need? It says in the scripture here that we just read, Jesus says, your Heavenly Father knows what you need. He's not a God that's just up there and oblivious and thinks, well, I understand Mike's needs because he's the pastor and definitely I know his needs. No, he's not like that. Every single one of us in here, he knows what you need. He's an expert at your needs. Jesus said, why worry if you have a God who cares about you with such depth as that? He's mindful. And then look in verse 31 to 32. Why does Jesus tell us not to give in? People of faith simply should not operate like pagans. And he used the example of Gentiles who ignore the God who knows their needs. He says, oh, you of little faith, in verse 30. In verse 31, he says, well, therefore, don't be anxious about what you're going to eat and drink. He says, the pagans, the Gentiles, those that are without God worry about those things. You know, I always hear people say at funerals, like, you know, I'm sad, I'm grieving, but I know that my loved one had a relationship with God and they're going to go to heaven. But really, I pity those that don't have God because they have no hope of heaven. It's the same thing here. He's saying, as believers, if we believe God is the kind of God that cares for our needs, we simply should not think like the pagans think. We shouldn't worry like the rest of the world is worrying. Is the world going to end now? Is this going to happen? I need to be on this medication. I need to cover up this problem. I need to go to meet these needs. And they're running around like chickens with their head cut off. He says, you have a God that loves you so deeply that you don't have to do that. Isn't that good? Isn't that good news? All right, now let's go to the important part now. Let's say, okay, Mike, I understand what worry is. I understand why Jesus warns us not to worry. But how do I put this together in my life? How do I overcome anxiety? I have anxiety. I struggle with it. It's a real thing in my life. But how do I overcome it? He gives us the answer in the verses here, but we're going to take a closer look at them. It's the famous verse that a lot of us have memorized in verse 33. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So, first of all, and I'm going to unpack this in a minute, is make it a priority. If you want to overcome anxiety, make it a priority to seek God's kingdom agenda. Okay, this is God's plan for your life. This is God's plan for the earth. And then he says, his righteousness. So, because Jesus died in our place for our sins and was perfect, he gave us his righteousness. So, how do I live a right life in the way God intended me to live? He says, if you seek those things, rather than running to drugs, rather than running to alcohol, rather than running to relationships, rather than running to material things, to meet and somehow try to get rid of the worry, as that we come straight to God, what do you say? You say, well, that's good. That's a cliche, right? I'm a part of the kingdom of God, right? We sang that song when we were children, a lot of us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And if you're a really good church, you would sing it around. But let's look at how to unpack this kingdom thing. How do we seek God's kingdom? First of all, I want to point out is that we have to have faith. Jesus says, oh, you have little faith. Do you believe? Start with what you believe about God. Do you believe God cares about your tomorrow and your needs and your safety and your protection and your security? Do you believe God cares about that? Don't answer it out loud, but Do you really believe? Now that's the faith Jesus was talking about. Do you believe that I'm a good God? And I put so much emphasis in that I spit just now. I don't know if you saw it. It's a good thing you're sitting in the second row back there, Tanya. God really cares. Do you believe that? That's the first part of overcoming anxiety, is to believe that a God is up there and He cares for you. It's like what Peter says in 1 Peter. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time He's going to exalt you. Cast all your anxieties, all your cares on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. So there's the faith part. Because He cares for you. It's such a simple thing, but it's yet something that our society and the world has run from. A fact that there's a God in heaven who cares about us with such great detail. If we're consumed with the future and the what ifs, we're going to be filled with anxiety. But if we believe our loving Heavenly Father is going to provide for our needs, our focus will be on Him right now, today, instead of thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow. You got that? Faith. Everybody say that together. Faith. Faith that God cares for me. Can you say that? Faith that God cares for me. Second thing, second ingredient of you overcoming anxiety, and we have to skip back up to verse 19 in the chapter, because you see in chapter 6, Jesus is teaching the disciples how to rely on Him in prayer. You have the famous Lord's Prayer where it says, give us this day our daily bread, that God will meet our needs. But then He gives us the formula in verse 19. He says, if you got an ESV Bible, read verses 19 to 24 with me if you can follow along. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. All right, so let's break that down now. So we have faith as a tool to overcome anxiety, but we also have the opportunity of a heart change. Jesus talks about a change of heart here. He says, where your treasure is. In other words, what He's saying is what you value in life is where your heart's going to be. Why is it that we worry about if we're going to have a car or a place to live? Because we're placing too much value on something that's going to be taken away from us. And no matter how beautiful that car is, I was so proud to have my first truck, and I bought it from my grandfather, and then the Lord humbled me. Because I thought, well, I'm going to keep this thing good, and it's going to last me a long time, because he didn't put very much miles on it. I dented the door into the deck. I was out working and throwing a pieces of metal, and it hit the side and dented it in. I backed up into a rock, and so now it's full of scratches and dents as I've used it to work. Yeah. That is true. But you know what? No matter how well we try to keep things, they're going to rust. Especially if you buy a Ford. No, I'm just kidding. It's going to rust. You know, think about what you're worrying about right now. Will it one day burn up? Have a heart change and place the value on what is to come on heaven. This is the hope that we have. Earthly things can be stolen, right? We have iPads. You know, there's nothing more stressful. You know, I want to have my phone with me or a camera and when I travel in different parts of the world, but it's always stressful. I got to hang on to that thing for fear of someone's going to steal it. I'm going to steal my iPad or steal my phone. And I'm burdened down with cares. But if instead I'm valuing my soul and the souls of other people, those things just aren't going to matter. I really hate that my neighbor stole something from me. But does it really matter in the long run? You see how we fill ourselves with all these cares and we stress ourselves out because we're concerned about things that can be taken away, that will burn, that will rust. Jesus says, lay for yourselves. So it's a heart change. Can you say that with me? A heart change. It's what you put value on. Someone recently shared a story with me. Anybody remember the gymnast, Mary Lou Retton? Man, she was good. And she's, I don't know what age she is right now, but because of decay in the body and because that's such a hard thing, it wears you out, your life and your body out, she now walks with a cane. Can you imagine the one that was doing flips and twirls is now walking with a cane. So sports don't give everlasting impact and happiness to our lives because eventually our bodies wear down. So we have to have a heart change and shift our heart to what really matters. It's okay to enjoy those things in life, but if we're worried about losing it so much, we're worried about not having it, or we're worried about our kids not excelling in this or that, our values need to change. Three, can you say this with me? A perspective change. A perspective change. That's a big word. Some of you, that's more than one syllable. So, a perspective change. Can you say that? A perspective change. If it's easier, you can say a CNI thing. It's how we look at life. It's how we view life. And Jesus says, if there's darkness in your body, how great is that darkness? In other words, by looking at the things in God's light or what He says in His Word and how He sees them, it's going to lessen the blow of worry and we're going to be set free from worry. God says, don't worry, I got this. Don't worry, I'm going to give you food. Don't worry, I'm going to provide for you. That's what He says in His Word. But if we're looking at the mountain, if we're looking at the giant, we're looking at what consumes us, our bodies will be full of darkness. But Jesus says, if you have a perspective change, if you instead of focusing on those earthly desires that leave you disappointed and full of anxiety, look to where God lives. All right, so let's read these together. Number one, faith. Okay, when I say the number, you say it. This is a little bit different now. Number one. Number two. Number three. And number four. What's the last thing? He says, nobody can serve two masters here. Remember us kind of gently pushing God off the throne and trying to control our circumstances? See, when we repent, like I did, when I got on my knees and said, God, I am so sorry for trying to control what's going to happen to me when I get out of college. God, I am so sorry for trying to control what spouse you're going to have for me for the future. God, I am so sorry for trying to control what job I get. God, I'm so sorry for trying to control what family you gave me. God, I'm so sorry for trying to worry and take that authority. It's in repentance and say, God, you are God. Realize that we simply can't take God's place of controlling the universe. That sounds so simple and so easy and yet very humorous. A worried person is trying to take control of the universe, their sphere of life. Trust that God's going to do a better job than we ever would. Remember, He said you can't add an hour to your life about worrying. So do you trust God that He's going to do better at this God thing than you are? Because when it comes right down to it, if you forget about everything that I said today, worry and anxiety at its root is a worship problem. It is an idol problem. It means that we put ourselves in the place of God and we worship ourselves instead of worshiping God. That's worry in a nutshell. So we have to trust God for our basic needs of life and revel in the fact that He cares for us, and obey His word becomes our focus. So here's what I want to encourage you to do this week. You know what Jesus says about worry. You know how worry is defined now. You know why Jesus says not to worry and what it does to our physical and spiritual and emotional life. And now He's given us the recipe. Now you can go home and take those four things and say, God, okay, what areas am I not believing You in? Write them down. And then find a scripture that tells the opposite of what that says. Well, I just don't know if God's going to keep me safe or I'm going to be safe. What does it say in the Psalms? That the Lord is our refuge and strength and strong tower? That is putting it into practice. That's beginning to change your heart right in the middle of worry and anxiety. Taking that heart change and perspective change, and the worship change. This is what David says in Psalms 94. When I thought, my foot slips. Anybody have a foot that slips? You say, whoops, I messed this up. Whoops, things aren't going so well. He says, Your steadfast love, O Lord, held me up. No one can pluck me out of Your hand, as we sang this morning. When the cares of my heart are many, Your consolations cheer my soul. So here's what I'm going to say. When the cares get too many, look at the consolations of God's Word. Look at what God's Word says about your situation and have faith and believe God is greater than your circumstances. So, how do we seek God's kingdom? Number one, you already forgot. Number one, I didn't hear anything on this side of the church. Number one, yeah, believing God at His Word. Number two, a heart change. In other words, I value heaven. I have the hope of heaven above everything else. Number three, by looking at things in light of God's Word instead of in light of how bad things are in my life. And number four, it's letting God be God. This is going to take time. This is not overnight that we can put these four things into practice. But I want to encourage you to wrestle with these. Because the world says to go to pills and relationships and drugs and all these other things, but you're going to come up just as empty, just as worried, and even sicker physically, spiritually, and emotionally than you ever were before. God has given us the answer. He knows how we tick more than any person in the entire world. Will you do that? Will you make a commitment today to help one another out in this body and in your home? Say, wait a minute, God's got this. Wait a minute, remember what it says in Psalms, which means you need to be in the Word of God so you know what it says in Psalms. You need to know God's consolations. Now I want everybody right now to take a deep breath. All the cares and the worries, inhale the Word of God, exhale all the garbage, and say, God's got this. Or, God, you are God and I am not. I look forward to the hope of heaven. All this is going to burn up and go away, but eternal things is what lasts forever. Will we look at those things? I want to ask the worship team to come as we sing this song of hope and encouragement to seal the Word of God in our hearts. Father, I thank You so much for Your Word. And Lord, I am the first to and foremost chief of sinners when it comes to worry and anxiety, trying to take control of my life. So Lord, I ask Your forgiveness, and we as a body ask Your forgiveness for consuming and having a diet of cares and concerns instead of having a diet of You. Lord Jesus, would You come and invade our hearts this morning? Would Your Holy Spirit make these words intelligible to our hearts? Would Your Holy Spirit give us the victory over anxiety as we apply Your Word to our lives? In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing this song.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become His righteousness. He humbled Himself and carried the cross. That's so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name of all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, who rescued for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord. His body the bread, His blood the wine, broken and poured out all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name of all names, the blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, who rescued for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord. All our hope is in you. All our hope is in you. All the glory to you, God, the light of the world. All our hope is in you. All our hope is in you. All the glory to you, God, the light of the world, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer. Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Jesus Messiah, Lord.